any views expressed on this program do not represent the views of Liffey Sound.
Very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret society, the secret oath, and the secret proceedings.
Waking humanity, one soul at a time. This is the World You Don't Know Radio Show with your host, Nick O'Connell.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're very welcome along to this week's edition of The World You Don't Know with myself, Mick O'Connell. Now, I just have a little thing to read out. Now, I have my guest lined up, Max Egan. He's going to be coming on now in a moment. We're going to have a very good show. Max is a wonderful guest. Max is going to be appearing at the Open Minds Ireland Conference in Waterford. And I've been asked to read something out by Trevor from Open Minds. I'm going to read this out now, so just bear with me for a second. The Open Minds Ireland Conference is back in Waterford. As I said, it was on there last year. I attended last year's one and I interviewed a few of the guests leading up to last year's conference. And I went down to the conference myself for the 2 days and it was absolutely brilliant. Crack. It was 90, I have to say. And some of the speakers were brilliant. It was an amazing event. Anyway, the second one is on this year. They're running it again, but this time it's over 3 days. I think it's the 4th, 5th and 6th of March. I'm not sure, but I'll double check with Trevor. Anyway, but it's at the beginning of March and you can go on to Open Minds Conference. .com for more details about that. And I'm just going to read something out, and now for something completely different. Have you ever asked questions of the world around you? Have you ever watched the news and thought, that doesn't look right? Have you ever thought to yourself, there is more to a subject than may appear on the surface? If the answer is yes to any of the above, then the Open Minds Conference is for you. Last year, 150 people gathered for the conference from 9 different countries, from Spain to France, from the UK to as far as the USA. Many visiting the Viking city for the first time and experiencing all of the beauty of one of Ireland's oldest and most historic cities, Waterford. Great place. The conference brings some of the latest or the best minds, both locally, nationally and internationally, to Waterford. The Greek philosopher Socrates once said, knowledge is known how little we know. And this can be true of the world we live in today, of quick fixes and instant gratification, where all too often people from there form their opinions from 30-second sound bites without looking any deeper. Isn't that the problem, really, goes on in this world? People don't look into anything at all. The Open Minds Conference aims to look deeper into a multitude of different topics and subjects, from natural health to the power of the mind. The event will kick off at Dooley's Hotel on Friday, the 2nd of March. So it's the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of March. That's the dates that it's on. And over the next 3 days, 18 speakers will be providing their insight and knowledge, including Bernadette Bowen, John Wilson, who's the Garda whistleblower. I hope to have him on the show soon. Max Egan, who's coming up now in a moment, as well as popular local man, Cian Foley, who will be discussing his book, Don't Dee for Winter. I haven't read that book, so it sounds interesting. I'll read on. As well as the speakers, the event has also some of the best local talent on show, with musicians Catherine Boland and Tom Mullan, yoga teacher Tracy Boland, the shamanic drumming of Eight Oaks, Claire Power and Visby Shroff, I think I pronounced that properly. And it all finishes then with a meditation from John Payne. And we did the meditation with John Payne last year. And I have to say, that was quite an interesting experience. I really enjoyed that. Speaking to one of the event organisers, Trevor Evers, he says, the whole idea of the event is to encourage people to ask questions of the world around them and the way they look at things. Of course, some speakers will resonate with some more than they will with others. I mean, that's always the way at these conferences. But if you approach with an open mind, then you can hopefully learn something in which you can use to make a change to your own life and thus the world around you. It is a great opportunity for people to come together and uplift hearts and spirits while gathering a little knowledge along the way. And there is something for everyone. So bring on the weird, the wonderful, and all that's in between at the Open Minds Conference. That's on March the 2nd. 3rd and 4th in Dooley's Hotel, Waterford. And for more information, as I said, you can go to openmindsconference.com and you can get your tickets on omic2.eventbrite.ie. Eventbrite are offering the tickets. And I'm sure if you go down on the day, you will get in on the door. There's always tickets available at these events. So you will be able to get in the door. So without further ado, I'm going to go to Max because it is 7 a.m. where he is in Brisbane, in Australia, just after 7 in the morning. And he has been kind enough to get up out of his bed early to do this interview. So I'm going to go straight to Max. Good evening, Max.
How are you, brother? Nice to be here. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, welcome onto the show again for the second time, Max. I've had you on there once before, about 2 years ago.
Yeah, I remember. It's good to be on again.
And that was a great show, and you're very welcome onto the show. And as I said, thanks very much for getting up so early, because it is 7 o'clock tomorrow morning for you, Max, even though it's early in the evening here for us, and it's 9 p.m. But, well, it's just after 9 now, 11 minutes past to be exact. Max, we live in a funny old world, and it's got a hell of a lot funnier since I last spoke to you.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty open question. Yeah, it has. It's gotten very funny.
That's without mentioning Donald Trump.
Without even mentioning Donald Trump. Trump's definitely an enigma, isn't he? He's a strange character, Donald Trump. I don't really trust what's going on. I don't trust all the theatrics that's going on, even with all these sealed indictments and the QAnon information and all these mass arrests that are supposed to be happening. Even when I look at what's been said against Hillary Clinton, it's mainly about, you know, the Uranium One deal and all that sort of stuff. You know, if people really knew the crimes of this woman and the crimes of the Clinton Foundation, it'd be world-stopping. It really would. People would just about collapse in their chairs if they really knew what this woman had gotten up to. And I'm not hearing a lot of that. And, you know, underneath it, again, is the smart grid, is the whole Internet of Things, which really is the concern. And I don't see any of this being addressed with any of this. So I think Trump's just there to, you know, provide a nice bit of theatrics for the people while all this stuff goes on underneath, personally.
That's what I was going to get to next. I mean, as you just mentioned, that Donald Trump and all his theatrics, he's diverting people away with what's going on in the background and what's going on underneath the surface. And one thing I want to mention to you, which you've been highlighting quite a lot now on your Facebook posts, is this rollout of the 5G network.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. The 5G grid and the Internet of Things and the cashless grid that follows it is the problem. That is the new world order. You know, and that's coming in underneath everything under the guise of convenience. Everybody's kind of lapping it up. You know, there's all this stuff going on the surface, all these battles for power, you know, the battle against the deep state and all this sort of stuff. And it's keeping everybody entertained. They're all sitting there with their bags of popcorn watching all this stuff. And even if there are mass arrests, I mean, what, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, do people seriously think these guys are going to go to jail? I mean, they're not. I mean, even if there was some sort of theatrical theater trial that we saw, they'd probably just go off to the Caribbean anyway. I mean, you know, these people are never going to be dealt with the way they should be. It just doesn't work that way. You know, all of this is theatrics. And underneath it is the smart grid, the 5G grid. Now, the 5G system in itself is bad anyway because of the health concerns of this radiation that it causes. It's like we're going to be living inside an airport scanner all the time. That's kind of what 5G is. It's this millimeter wave radiation. And that's a concern, and people are sort of focusing on that as well. But the reason the 5G rollout is happening, it isn't just to immerse us in radiation. It's because they need the speed for the Internet of Things, because everything's going to become cashless, everything's going to become digital. And the Internet of Things is not about convenience, it's about surveillance. And once this comes online and they're able to digitize cash, they basically got us by the short and curlies, and it's going to be very difficult to escape from that system. And a lot of people aren't noticing it. They're sitting there waiting for this big mass arrest thing to happen. And even if it happens, what happens then? Say the Clintons are arrested and they're all put in jail. Well, now what? Now what? Is anyone addressing this smart grid? Is anyone addressing the 5G grid? Is anyone addressing the cashless society? Is anyone addressing the theatrics that's going on with North Korea and China and the One Belt, One Road system and all the stuff that's going on in the background that people just aren't paying attention to? They're too concerned with politics and theatrics and this mythical battle that's supposed to be going on the surface that we're all seeing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the cashless society, you know, that was something I have been speaking about at least for the last 10 years. That's when I came across the concept of a cashless society. And at the time, I said, oh, well, maybe that's not a bad idea. This is before I realised how dangerous it could actually be then. And I heard people like yourself then mention how dangerous a cashless society can be. And I'm looking now here in Ireland. 10 years ago, people did have credit cards, obviously, but there was very few people who were paying for their daily shopping, say, with a card. Now everybody seems to be going around tapping cards off the machines or using their mobile phones to pay for stuff. And they all just think this is super convenient. This is great. This is wonderful, you know.
Well, yeah, it's not. It's about control, and it's about controlling everything you do. You know, once it all goes digital and it's all controlled by algorithms, there'll be two types of people in society. There'll be desirables and undesirables. And, you know, if you don't behave the way the government wants you to, they simply penalize you. There's a recent case that just happened in China. There's a guy called, he was a journalist. His name is Louis Hu, I think his name is.
Oh, well, him, yes. They shut him out of the system completely.
Shut him out of the system. And he didn't even know. They didn't send him any message to tell him he was being shut out. He just went to buy a plane ticket and got told he was not qualified for the train ticket, for the plane ticket. He's also not qualified to ride on certain high level trains, you know, any classy trains. He can't ride, he can't buy land. And once it all goes digital and it's all cashless, you'll find that he'll probably go into the supermarket and he'll only be able to buy generic brand food. He won't be able to buy any top brand foods or anything like that. So they can penalise you in any way they want. And the danger of it is that there's no appeal process for this man. There's no one he can call. There's no one he can write to. There's no one at all he can contact to say, hey.
He doesn't even know who's done this to him, does he? Like, what department is responsible for what?
Yeah, yeah, there's no information at all. You're just locked out of the system. And this has happened to 7.4 million people in China. One guy, because he stole a few packets of cigarettes, he's been completely locked out of the system. You know, so it basically forces people into a life of crime. So if you're a dissenter, they just lock you out of everything, all the things that you're normally entitled to, and you're put into a position where you have no other option than to steal or whatever to survive. Yeah, so they force you into a life of crime, get you into the private prison system, and this is the way they're going to be dealing with dissent. It's going to be like a reward system. Like in China, they call it a social credit system, and they reward you according to your trustworthiness. Your trustworthiness being how much you're willing to comply with government regulations. So that's the reality that we're heading for with this cashless grid, and yeah, that's what people are addressing. You know?
Yeah, I think David, I call it the Hunger Games Society.
Well, yeah, it could be. I mean, it'd be like that. But even worse than what we saw in the Hunger Games, I mean, you know, with being tracked with everything that you do, absolutely everything has an IP address, and all the red herrings we're given, microchips and all this sort of stuff, I mean, they don't need to microchip you. They can already do it off your bioacoustic resonance. The nanotech that we've all been swallowing and eating that's in the chemtrails, it's in all the food and stuff. And it's something like 1,830 products they've found in the United States that contain nanotechnology. You know, cereals, dressings, sauces, you know, sweets, candies, all sorts of stuff. Same as here in Australia. So it'd be in Ireland, be in England, be everywhere, be across Europe. You know, it's just reported.
I seen a video yesterday on YouTube. It was on Facebook, but it was hosted on YouTube. And it was a video of a nanobot grabbing a sperm by the tail and guiding it to the egg. You can see it all under the microscope. And it was a chemtrail page who put the post up saying, these nanobots are in chemtrails. We're all consuming them. They're in our systems.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, you know, the nanotech is in everybody, and the question is what are they going to do with it? You know, what's it programmed to do? What sort of things can they get this to do once the 5G grid is in place? You know, because it's all to do with signals. I mean, and you can even go to MIT websites, and you can see experiments they did 10 years ago where they were injecting nanotech into rats, and they were having the nanotech switch the genes on and off in the rats using radio waves to control the nanotech. Now, this is an MIT website 10 years ago. This is where the technology was. So this isn't conspiracy theory or anything like that. You know, they can use nanotech to perform tasks inside you, and they can control it with radio waves. So where are they going with all this, you know? And where are they leading the human race? What's happening to us? See, nobody's addressing all of these things. With all this theater that Trump's, you know, arresting of the deep state and all this sort of stuff, none of the real stuff is being addressed. This is all stuff that's on the surface to keep people there in the boxing ring and looking at the fight and not noticing what's going on. You know, the way the analogy I use is it's like we're in a house and we're so distracted. We've got all these packs of dogs attacking the house, and we're so intent on keeping the windows and the doors barricaded and keeping all these dogs out and keeping all these animals out of our house that we're not noticing these lice that are crawling in under the floor and on the carpet and crawling up our legs, and we don't notice the lice until it's too late. And then the dogs go away because it was never about the dogs. It was always about the lice. And that's what's happening to us, you know. All of this stuff is happening below the surface while we're kept distracted with this theatre on the surface, which is just causing us not to look. And then we're not looking at what is happening right under our noses, and we're not looking at the technology we're using and the things that are being presented to us under the guise of convenience.
Yeah. What do you make of the flu outbreak that's going on now at the moment, both here and in the UK? We're suffering a serious flu epidemic here, and it's the Australian flu, it's called. I mean, they're blaming the Australians on this.
Yeah, of course.
Now, I one person I know who I know of, a guy who I grew up with, passed away recently because of that. Now, I think he had an underlying illness, but apparently he caught this Australian flu. And there's been a few people in Ireland have died from the Australian flu, and a few people over in the UK as well, so... I don't know. I mean, the New Scientist magazine, they on the front cover of the January issue has 2018, the year of the flu. It's like they're putting it out there that this year is going to be a big year for the flu seasons, you know, for the flu virus.
Yeah, well, you know, they're just putting it out there. They're just putting that in people's minds, and hopefully they'll get them with the vaccines. You know, you go get the vaccine, that's what gives you the flu usually. So yeah, they promote all this stuff to promote the vaccine campaign, I think.
Yeah, a friend of mine, he got the vaccine there before Christmas, a chap in his 50s, and I swear to God, Max, he was in a jock for about 4 weeks.
Not good. You know, not good.
Ill, you know, but he's okay now, like he's over the worst of it, but I mean, 2 days after the vaccine, he was in bits. And I said to him, that's the vaccine, you shouldn't have got it.
Yeah, the vaccines, you know, they do this. I mean, they're incredibly toxic. They're responsible for so many problems, you know, autism. There's so many things that can be traced to vaccines. They don't do any help at all. Even if you look at the charts over the years of, you know, where polio was and all of these things that they brought these vaccines in for, they were all in decline anyway. All of these diseases were in natural decline. And if you look at the graphs, the vaccines didn't put a dent in the graph. They didn't change anything. So, you know, they cause more problems than good, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Max, now, in relation to the vaccines. I've a child now, he's totally unvaccinated, and he's never sick. And any time he is a little bit ill, he might have a stuffy nose around, it's usually 24 hours, 48 hours, and he's fine after.
Yeah, well, look, there's a guy from the UK, I believe, Dr. Graham Downing. I recommend everybody check out his work. He spoke at AV8 last year. Amazing talk, really, really fantastic talk. Spoke all about vaccines. Showed all the figures in the chart, showed how they have to put basically 162 children in danger in order to protect one with the current vaccine program, the way it works, and how vaccines are setting up this environment, and it's all leading towards transhumanism. They're using vaccines to basically create certain biological environments in people that all complement this lead into transhumanism. Mm-hmm. It's quite insidious, and he did a great talk on that. So I highly recommend people look into his work. And he's a medical doctor; he's an MD. He can, of course, only say so much, or he might lose his license. And he's got a family to support, so he kind of walks a fine line. But he says what he can, and gives you all the facts and figures. And this is stuff you can take and show to any doctor or any politician, and it's inarguable. Here's the figures, you know, and this is from a doctor, so.
I meet a radio show host over here, a guy called George Hook, who had a daily radio show on a national station. He was quite well known in the country. And he was talking about vaccines and questioned the validity of the safety and stuff like that. And that was grand. There was no hoo-ha about it in the press or anything like that. But then a week later, he made a remark in relation to rape. I think the remark was that if a girl goes out dressed in a certain way, is she not asking for trouble? And, you know, he was saying women should be more responsible in that respect. But he got into serious trouble over the remark, but they drummed him off his show and got rid of him. And now he's back on the station, but he got an hour a week or something like that. But this is a guy who went from a 5-day show to nothing, you know. And they were blaming the remarks he made about the rape. But I was saying, no, hang on a minute. A week before, he was talking about vaccines. The one thing they don't want you to do on the radio, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true. You know, the social justice warriors can use anything like that to get rid of anybody, any comment on rape or anything. I mean, you know, you can't say what you feel anymore. I mean, I don't agree with his statement, but I
understood where he was coming from, all right, though. You know, as you know, I've got a daughter myself, an 18-year-old daughter, and if God forbid anything like did happen to her and she went out dressed in a certain way, I would be questioned the way she was dressed, you know.
Well, you've got to look at the social conditions that have led to that have led young kids to think this way now, you know, through the pornography industry and all this sort of stuff. A lot of young kids have a very, very disjointed view of what sexuality is. And this has all been done by design. So, I mean, you've got to look at the statement and put it in context.
Yeah.
Kids today are very, very disconnected sexually. They have no real idea, a lot of them. I mean, I get emails from a lot of kids that are very sexually confused, and pornography's done all this. Pornography has completely destroyed people's minds in that respect. And same with the phthalates and the plastics, and I mean, it's a big and ongoing thing over a series of generations.
Now, you're going to be doing the Open Minds Conference, Max. in March over here in Waterford in Ireland. And as part of that, I'm going to be interviewing guests who are going to be appearing on that. And you've been the first, Max, so thanks for coming on for that. What are you going to be bringing to the conference? What are you going to be talking about with this conference, Max?
Well, that's a good question. I have to figure that out. I kind of wing most of the conferences that I do. Like the last one that I did, I kind of prepared the slideshow a couple of days beforehand just to sort of keep me on track. It depends on where the world's going, you know.
True.
And stuff is happening so quickly that, I mean, obviously I'm going to be talking about 5G and the smart grid and all the stuff that's going on, possibly, you know, how we got here and where we're heading to and what the possible solutions may be. But it's hard to know exactly where it'll go. I mean, even when I prepare a slideshow and I go off and do four or five conferences, it's sort of a different talk at every conference anyway. And with this one, I mean, it was a kind of a last minute thing because I was supposed to be going to do some Cambo workshops in Hawaii in March, but they've been moved to June. And basically, I'm going to be in Mexico at the end of February, and then I was going to be heading to LA, then to Hawaii. And I don't want to be in LA any longer than I can possibly help it because I've already spent too much time there in the last year. And so I thought, well, I was going to be going to Europe in April. I thought, well, I may as well just go early and go at the end of February and March, go a month early. And if I do that, that will put me in Europe at, say, the 28th of February, which will means I'm very close to Ireland, which means I can go and do the conference.
Brilliant.
So, but I hadn't planned on doing it. I mean, I had planned on speaking at Acapulco, which is just a 30-minute or 45-minute talk in February, but I hadn't planned on doing any more talks this year after that. Right. So I'll just put something together between now and then.
I was aware through Trevor, one of the guys who's organising the conference, I think you were going to do a video link or something like that on the day.
I was going to, I was going to be in Hawaii and I was going to prepare something and just do a video link up via Skype and talk for an hour via Skype. But, I've had such a busy year. I've had such an incredibly busy year and, I just wing it. All the conferences that I do, I kind of just wing it as I go in there. So,
I think they turn out anyway when you do that, you know, if they're not too well planned, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's better. You know, I think it's better. Yeah. I mean, I like to go out and I really don't like going out there and just kind of being a presenter. I prefer to just go and just talk to people. You know, it's like it's kind of a sit around the lounge room table and talk sort of thing. I've always approached conferences in that way.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, it'll be, what it is on the day, but I'm sure it'll be informative. I mean, that's the way I always do it, so.
I'd think you'll get down to Starmax anyway. I imagine everybody who's going to be attending the conference, including myself, are going to be delighted to see you there, rather than as a video link, you know. So, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of points flying your way, Max, anyway, on the day. I've no doubt about that. Listen, Max, I need to go to an ad break, so do you mind hanging on for a couple of minutes?
Not a problem, brother.
Folks, we'll be back in 2 minutes with Max Egan.
You're listening to Lizzie on 96.4 FM.
Now, folks, you're very welcome back. I'm going to go straight back to Max. Max, you're still there, yeah?
Yes, I certainly am.
Oh, that's brilliant. Max, I want to talk to you a little bit about Gaza. I've been reading a lot about Gaza lately, about that young girl that's over there. I can't remember her first name. Tamini, I think, is her name is. She's become a bit of a poster girl now for the Palestinian cause. She's been held in custody, I think, by the Israelis. Have you been looking at that story at all?
Yeah, a little bit. She's from West Bank, I think, but not from Gaza. But, good on her getting out there and making a difference, you know, and letting people see that Palestinians are human and they're not terrorists. You know, I mean, it's horrendous what's going on in Gaza, and it's as I say, it's a key that everybody could use. You know, this is a legal key that people don't even see the significance of what's happening in Palestine. You know, the fact that the occupation of Gaza and the occupation of West Bank is a war crime. It's a war crime, pure and simple. It's a breach of the Geneva Convention, and all of our politicians all around the world are supporting this. So, you know, if the government in Ireland is doing stuff that you don't like, why don't you say to them, well, hang on a minute, are you supporting the State of Israel? Well, that means you're a war criminal under your own law, so what makes your legislation valid when you're a war criminal? You know, if you're not being held accountable for supporting war crimes, then there is no law, and we need a revolution to depose you tyrants, basically, because you've demonstrated to us that there is no law. You know, so what is this? How come we're subject to the rubbish you write down on paper when you're not subject to international war crimes? You know? Why can't people see this and see the opportunity it provides for you? And it doesn't matter whether you support Israel or Palestine or Israelis or Jews or Muslims. It doesn't matter what you support. It's whether you believe law is real and whether you believe people should be held accountable for their actions. You know, and Gaza Strip in Palestine is a huge moral dilemma. It's the greatest moral dilemma we face today. And it's a potential healing for all the other problems that we face, because this basically shows that all the politicians in this world, everyone that supports this state, is a criminal. So all the legislation's invalid anyway. So why are we going along with any of this stuff?
You know? What do you think of Donald Trump's move to relocate the American embassy to Jerusalem?
Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting. I mean, some people say, oh, it's 4D chess. He's united the Arab world with this move. Well, no, he hasn't. The Arab world's all over the place. It's always been all over the place. Since England went in there and divided it all up, it's been all over the place. You know, but he's openly supporting the state of Israel, Donald Trump. He's basically said he's going to pull funding from Palestine, pull all aid from them altogether, unless they agree that it's okay to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And people don't understand the significance of that. You move the embassy to Jerusalem, you're saying Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and you're basically saying there is no Palestine and there never will be a Palestine. And that's it. That's the end of their country. That means it's been completely stolen, and it gives Israel the green light to basically clear the rest of them out.
What kind of a hold do you think the Israelis have over the rest of the world that they're allowed to get away with this?
Oh, they have a huge hold over the rest of the world, you know. I mean, there's been threats of things such as, you know, the Samson option, you know, the fact that they've got nuclear missiles trained on everybody. I even wonder about nuclear weapons completely. So that's a whole other story. That's a whole other story. But there's also things like Operation Talpiot. There's also the fact that Israel runs the Palantir network. It was running the Promise software. All the back doors that are put into all the systems that was used to run the 9/11 attacks. Israel basically has the power through Talpiot and through its control of technology to be able to severely limit anybody's internet or interfere with anybody's internet or stage terror attacks in any country they want. I mean, they've got agents everywhere. Most of the terror attacks that we see are staged by Israeli agents. You know, so, you know, they've got a huge hold over everything. They've got dual citizens in just about every country. You know, through the whole Holocaust scenario, they've been able to infiltrate any country. I mean, Jewish citizens can come into any country and they can set up a business and, you know, just go for it. You know, I couldn't move to Ireland and just move there and set up a business and start making lots of money in Ireland. There'd be all sorts of problems to stop me. But if I'm an Israeli, I can do it. As same as an Israeli can come here and do it. If you're an Israeli, you can do it anywhere around the world because of this hold that the Holocaust has over people's minds. So they've set up this whole scenario whereby they've been able to infiltrate all governments and all technologies through the sympathy that they get from the Holocaust. Yeah. So this is how it's all been done. So they've got a huge, huge hold over everything. You know, yeah, I mean, it's a tenuous hold. A lot of people are awake to it, so it's a tenuous hold, but it still is a hold. It still is a hold. People in high places who are subject to these people are all compromised, you've got to understand, as well, through brownstone operations and stuff. I mean, all politicians are compromised. Forget it. They're all compromised. If they're not, they wouldn't be there. You know, the ones who aren't compromised don't get the big chair. That's the way it is. And it's who compromised them. It's who are the people who compromise them. And it isn't just banking cartels, it isn't just the Jesuits and the Illuminati and all these things we're given. Now, the world's run by business. It's run by business, and people are usually compromised sexually through pornography and child abuse and underage stuff and, you know, human trafficking and all the stuff that goes on from these war zones. There's a whole world that goes on behind the world that we see. Yeah. And these politicians are fully in it. And Israel is unfortunately running a lot of that world, or the people, the interest that controls Israel is running that world anyway, so.
What do you think of all these sex scandals going on over in the US at the moment with all these actors? Do you think there's something different going on than what we've been led to believe through the mainstream media?
Well, look, you know, Hollywood's run on pedophilia, but again, a lot of this is theatre. See, the smart grid, everything that's running out, this is only 2 years away coming online. Now, anything they can do to keep you distracted, all this pedophilia and all the stuff the Hollywood actors are saying now, this is all stuff we all knew. We already knew all this. They're just confirming it for us.
You were talking about it on your show years ago as well, Max.
Yeah, yeah, everyone already knew it. They're just confirming it now. But what's happening? Is anything changing? Why are we seeing all these sealed indictments and all this stuff? You know, all this, it's taking forever, taking months to happen. Oh, yes, 2018 is going to be the year of change. So everyone can sit back for the next 12 months and watch all this slowly unfold. In 12 months, the whole smart grid's going to be just about online. you know. So all of this stuff is theatre and theatrics. You know, they're all telling us stuff we already know, and everyone's getting excited about it because it's now coming out into the mainstream. But it's not coming out in any real truthful way. They're just sort of biting around the edges, and they're putting it into the minds of people and sort of preparing them for the fact that blah, blah, blah. But most of the people already know it. Most people already know that this is the way it is. They just don't want to face it, you know. So a lot of it is theatrics, I think, brother. I really do. I don't think we're ever going to see any of the main players go down. I really don't.
No, we never do, Max. I mean, as you said, it's all theatrics. This 5G smart grid, Max, what do you think, like, for the average person who knows nothing about this 5G smart grid, how will their lives change, and how will their lives be impacted when this is rolled out? What difference is it going to make to their lives?
Well, you know, everything will become smart. Cash will be removed, so and you'll pay per use. You'll pay as you go for everything. You know, you turn on a tap, there'll be a few credits. You open your fridge, there'll be a few credits. Your fridge will know how much milk and butter you've got in there. It will order it for you. It will be delivered to your house. Even if you go to a supermarket, you know, they want everything with microchips, billions of microchips, everything from pill bottles to plant water, is according to the FCC. So you can walk into a supermarket, you can just pick up what you want. It'll detect you when you walk in through your bioacoustic resonance or whatever, or your card that you're carrying, whatever. It'll detect you when you walk in. You can just pick up the stuff you want off the shelves and walk out. It'll be so convenient. And as soon as you walk out, it'll just detect what you've bought and take it out of your credits. So it's automatically deducted. Everything's done automatically. And it gets to the point where everything is smart. Your smart meter on your house knows when you're opening your fridge. You're charged every time you open your fridge. Yeah, so you charge per use for everything, pay as you go. And what it's going to do is it's going to put an economic value on every single action you perform. So, you know, eventually you're going to pay for everything. They'll even be judging how many carbon credits you're using as to whether you can get a flight that year. And then again, if you dissent or you say things that the government doesn't like or you step outside the lines, they can penalize you. They can deny you access to certain things that you always had access to.
Yeah.
They might just deny you access to whatever. They may decide that because there's an energy crisis or global warming or whatever, they've done the books and the machine, the AI has decided that it's not good to use washing machines during the daytime, so washing machines will only become active between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning. So they could do anything they want. And people will get used to getting up to do their washing at 3 or 5 o'clock in the morning. You know?
But if you look at the millennium generation now, kids born from, say, 1990 onwards, they're used to all this technology now. So for them, it'll just be a bit more normal than for us older folks. Like, we're looking at this in horror, you know. But one thing I've noticed about this, Max, and I've said this to a lot of people, there's moves here. In Ireland, there's a campaign going on at the moment to legalise cannabis for medicinal use. And I'm saying this is the slow, maybe even not too slow, but this is the process that they're going to use to legalize it properly. Because, as you just mentioned there, Max, if we have a cashless society, you cannot have a illegal drugs business going on one side and a cashless society. People won't be able to buy their drugs. You know, so they're going to have to legalize drugs so they have control of them.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to have to do that. And also it throws them a bone as well. You know, throws people a bone. Oh, the government's coming around. You know, we can all get stoned and sit down and be happy about it. Meanwhile, the smart grid's rolling out. You know, so it's like they did in the revolutions and riots that were going on in the 60s in California and the Watts riots and all that sort of stuff that was happening, you know, Ohio and all the stuff that was going on when they were protesting the Vietnam War in the United States. They just filled the place full of LSD and pot. And the hippie movement came along, which was this whole CIA operation to be peace, love, and flowers and vegetables, and let's all hug everybody. You know, it stopped all the war protests just fine. Same sort of thing. It's the same thing they're doing now. Look what they're doing in California. They completely legalized cannabis in California now across the board. It's not just for medical. It's completely legal now. So they'll get all the people to move to California, all the hippies, all the alternate people move to California. And meanwhile, they're just devastating California with directed energy weapons and the water's contaminated. And, you know, let's get all the alternate people here. Once they're all there, they'll probably set the fault line off and drop them all into the ocean, you know, so... I don't trust anything they're doing. You know, it's just throwing us a bone. You know, cannabis should never have been made illegal to begin with, and there shouldn't be any process in decriminalising it. It should just be decriminalised across the board. Any politician that continues to support its continued prohibition should be arrested, should be arrested for crimes against humanity, because it was outlawed under false pretenses to begin with. It's our companion plant. It's one of the greatest healing plants there is. It used to be the basis of all medicines, and when they outlawed it, everybody started getting sick. So, you know, the whole thing really needs to be looked at. We don't need any political process to decriminalize this stuff. We need to admit that it's a healing plant, and that its prohibition is a crime, and any politician who supports it should be instantly removed from office because they're committing crimes against humanity. It's as simple as that. Why don't we just call things out for what they are, you know?
Yeah. I was reading on the Irish News earlier our local news out in County Kildare, in one of the courthouses. A guy was convicted today of possession of a joint, one joint, and he was fined €500 and told by the judge, "You're in front of me again, you're going down for 12 months. You know,
it's ridiculous. Well, the judge is the criminal there in that case. The judge is supporting, you know, a prohibition of a healing plan. The judge is supporting corrupt legislation. The judge should have the balls and the nous to investigate the politician that wrote that legislation and have that person charged with abuse of office. That's what should happen, you know. All these people are war criminals anyway. Like I said, this politician that's supporting the prohibition of cannabis is probably supporting Israel, so he's a war criminal anyway. What makes any of his legislation valid? And why is this judge sitting on the office supporting corrupt legislation claiming he's supporting the law? He's not. He's supporting corporatism. He's a disgrace. He should be removed.
Why was cannabis outlawed in the first place? Was it? I mean, I read a couple of theories online. One of the big theories that I read was the DuPont family campaign to have it outlawed because of the paper industry. You know, they figured out you make paper from trees, you make more money.
Well, it was actually the plastics industry. There was a guy called Harry Anslinger. There was John Mellon, Harry Anslinger, and DuPont. John Mellon was I think he was the treasurer at the time of the United States. John Mellon's daughter was about to marry into the DuPont family, and the DuPont family had spent all of their money promoting nylon, the new hemp they were marketing it as, and hemp had just gone completely mainstream, and they'd invented the big harvester, the cannabis harvester, which was going to do for the hemp industry what the cotton gin did for the cotton industry. It was going to, because cotton used to be a very, very expensive fabric. But, you know, the cotton gin made it a very common fabric, made cotton easy to grow, easy to harvest. They just done the same for cannabis. Hemp was going to become mainstream, was going to take over the fabrics industry. And DuPont had just spent all of his money on developing nylon, and that was about to go down. Mellon's daughter was going to marry into that family. Mellon, he employed a man called Harry Anslinger, who was the head of the FBI at the time. And Harry Anslinger was the man who made Reefer Madness and did the campaign to outlaw hemp, which was all about protecting the DuPont Chemical Company and the chemical family. A lot of people, when they outlawed it, the doctors were outlawing it. They were supporting it because of the devil weed, marijuana, you know, Reefer Madness. They didn't understand that marijuana was hemp, because hemp was the basis of medicine. When they found out what they'd done, the medical industry tried to get the legislation repealed because of the damage it had just done to the medical industry. But that was all squashed and covered up. And that's basically who it was Harry Anslinger and John Mellon and DuPont, who basically got cannabis outlawed. It was all done under false pretenses. The one video that they used to use, the one case they used to use, was a man. They said this man chopped his family up with an axe. And he was stoned he'd been smoking reefers, and he chopped his family up with an axe. They didn't mention that he was a paranoid schizophrenic that had been in and out of psychiatric wards his whole life and was prone to that sort of stuff anyway.
Probably
they say, "Oh, look at you, you know, cannabis causes schizophrenia and rah, rah, rah." No, it's schizophrenics and manic depressants are naturally more likely to be drawn towards cannabis because cannabis helps alleviate those conditions, doesn't cause them. You know, the whole thing is rubbish. It was all outlawed under false pretenses. It destroyed the medical industry. Well, it destroyed the real medical industry and promoted the pharmaceutical industry, which basically promoted sickness. We started developing all sorts of exotic diseases, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, all these things we'd never heard of before. Cancer went through the roof, you know, all because cannabis was outlawed. So any politician that supports the continued prohibition of this plant or creates any red tape on getting it decriminalized should be immediately removed from office and just put in a camp somewhere. All these people should go live on Christmas Island, all these politicians. Give them a hammer, they can all have their war, you know?
With a young girl over here called Ava Barry, she's a chronic epileptic and she lives down the south of Ireland, I think Cork, I think she comes from. She's the only person in Ireland, as far as I'm aware, that has a license now to use medicinal cannabis. And what happened in her case was her mother had walked from Cork to Dublin, a good 230 something miles, I think, to protest against the government for not allowing the child to use medicinal cannabis, because it had been proven that when she was given medicinal cannabis, she was having no seizures, and this had gone from say 15 to 20 seizures a day to zero seizures. She was living a normal life, but unfortunately, the poor child and her mother had to relocate to Holland so she could have the medication, and there was a campaign to bring her home. Now she is home now, and she's been granted that license, but she's the only person in this country that has a license to use medicinal cannabis. You know, and the government know that this cannabis is working on it, yet they still won't release it to the mainstream to alleviate symptoms and all sorts of illnesses, Max, as you know it does.
Well, the people should stand up and have all these politicians held in abusive office. You know, they're doing things that they're not entitled to do. It doesn't matter if they write it down and call it law. It's ridiculous. You know, the government says it gets its power from the people. But how do you have that power? Can you delegate a power to them that you do not have yourself? Do you have the power to put someone in a cage if they use a plant that heals themselves? Of course you don't. So how does the government claim to get that power from the people? They don't. The politicians abuse the office that they hold by writing legislation they have no right to write. They give themselves powers they do not have and have no right to have, and we sit there and we put up with it. All of these people are criminals. They are all in abuse of the office they hold. They're not even abusing their power. They don't have the power, for God's sake. They're in abuse of office by giving themselves power they don't have. Why don't we just call this? Screw these people. How dare someone say they have the right to tell me I cannot heal myself because you wrote it on paper? Who the fuck are you? Sorry for swearing, but who are you people?
This is not acceptable.
It's simply not acceptable. So people need to stand up and grow a backbone and call it. These people are your employees. You do not employ them to mess with your lives the way they are doing. Why don't we just call this out for what it is?
Yeah, I mean, some of the legislation that's come out in this country over the last few years now is absolutely ridiculous and oppressive. But I'm not surprised by that because, you know, although a lot of people in Ireland think we live in the, you know, this lovely republic where we got our independence from the British, we never did. It never happened. You know, the British are not going to let the jewel in their empire go just because a few Irishmen stood up and says we want our country back. You know, but they gave us the illusion that we have it. You know, we have the illusion that we have an Irish government, but it's a free state government. And the free state was foisted upon this country by the British in 1922. And it's been that way ever since, but yet most people in this country have this misconception that we live in a republic, a sovereign independent republic. We don't. We live in a British construct.
Oh, absolutely. You guys live under the thumb of England, and you have for so long. I mean, I've always said that if any race can identify with the plight of the Palestinian people, it's the Irish. Because of what you guys have suffered at the hands of England, it's absolutely disgraceful. And there is no democratic government. There is no real legitimate government on the face of this earth. There really isn't.
It's just corporations, Max.
Exactly. It's a cacistocracy, mate, is what I call it, a cacistocracy. You know, a rule by the scum, rule by the worst possible people. We've got a criminal class that has manoeuvred itself into positions of power, and they now control every single government on this earth. And they're going to continue to do it until we call that out and acknowledge that fact that this world is run by criminals. Yeah. Even when you look at the whole legal system, all the work that people have done through the whole free man movement, and you know, seen how the name works and what the capital letters mean, how it's just dog Latin anyway, all of it's illegitimate. The way the court, you go to a court case, the police officers go into the court case as non-registered entities. The only person who's registered in there as a defendant, you know, who's been tricked into going in there as a registered entity to get his life milked from him. These people, it's a crime gang. It's a crime gang. There is no law. There is no legitimate law that works for anybody. And, you know, we don't get any remedy from anything in this system because we refuse to admit the simple fact that the world is run by a criminal class. You know, and none of this legislation's valid. They need to explain themselves because they don't get that power from us. They just make it up. And we don't employ them to do that. And we need to start realising how we're being led.
And every year they get themselves thousands of euros and thousands of dollars in pay raises while they give the citizens a measly €5. I mean, and that's what's going on in this country, Max. You know, the unemployed in this country, people on pensions, got €5 extra. And we won't be getting it until March. Anyone that's on welfare won't get that money until March. And yet the government seems fit to give themselves a €3,500 rise just for the Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's like it's disgusting what they're doing, but the people are sitting back and the people just allow it to happen. They just won't rise up for some reason. I think it's the fluoride in the water, to be honest with you. That's probably one of the biggest causes of it. And the crap that's in the air and the crap that's in the food. Max, I need to go to one more last year. Do you mind hanging on for a couple of minutes and we'll have a few minutes left?
Not a problem, brother.
That'd be brilliant. Folks, we'll be back in 2 minutes with Max Egan.
You're listening to Liffey Sound, www.liffeysoundfm.ie. Listen online. Community radio at its best.
Tune in every Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. for ultrasounds on Liffysound 96.4 FM or www.liffysoundfm.ie.
Have you taken our advice and explored the many attractions in our lovely Liffey Valley? There's so much to enjoy in the Liffey Valley. Lovely parks, riverside walks, historic houses, water sports, children's play areas, and much, much more. The Liffey Valley Park Alliance continues its work for the preservation of this marvellous amenity and its picturesque landscapes. You can play your part by using its various facilities. If you have not already done so, start now. You won't regret it.
Danger! Danger!
If sore necks, ringing in your ears and mosh pits are your thing, check out High Voltage with me, Dave Darcy, for all things rock, metal and punk. Every Monday evening from 7 to 9 on Liffey Sound 96.4 FM.
Local programs, local presenters, local news.
Tune to Liffey Sound 96.4 FM.
Now, folks, just before I go back to Max, I just want to read out that Luke and Live, our new daily talk programme, is broadcast Monday to Friday at 3 p.m. That's Luke and Live every day at 3 p.m. on Liffey Sound. So tune in for that. It does be a good show sometimes. And I just got rebroadcast at 10. I'm not sure if it's one on the system, but if there is, I will be playing it. Anyway, I've got about 8 minutes left, so I'm going to go straight back to Max. Max, just before we've got about 8 or 9 minutes left, and before we do finish up, what possible solutions do you think people... What should people do to make this bloody world a better place? What do people need to start doing?
Well, they need to really become aware of this smart system, and they need to start shopping with cash. They need to put down their smartphones, which is going to be very hard for people to do. Realize how these phones are tracking them and what it's really all about. And they need to find some way of uniting with the people around them. And I've been trying for so long to get communities to unite together and realize that what the power of community can do to stand up and call this system out for what it is. You know, you've got to identify the fact that your world's run by criminals. It is. I mean, these people are criminals, and you can ask them the right questions in the right way in a public enough manner. You know, and you're going to find that they've got nowhere to go. They back themselves into a corner. They'll show you their own criminality. You know, I mean, I don't want the whole system to collapse and everyone to immerse themselves into chaos, but we need some responsibility from our political figures. If we're going to have politics at all, if we're going to have government at all, it needs to be responsible figures that can work to reducing the size of government and working back to a point where we've at least got an educated population. You know, we're not going to get anywhere if we just keep thinking that the next person to vote in is going to fix the problem.
Mm.
You know, we've got to realize the world is run by criminals, and we need a revamping of this system. We need a replacement of these people. You know, but we need some people of honesty and integrity in there. So people have got to start standing up and calling it out and saying things for what they are. Stop being politically correct in your actions and your statements, and start calling things out for what they are. You know, that will make a big difference. You know, lead by example in your community.
I was hoping with the likes of Donald Trump getting elected, you know, and all this bullshit that is going on with King Jong-un, that little fat fella in North Korea, saying my button is bigger than your button. I mean, that's bloody schoolboy politics there. You know, people should be looking at that and say, hang on a minute, you're supposed to be politicians. Grow up. You know, and yes, take people out of bloody office. I mean, if that's not going to wake people up, I don't know what it is, Max.
This is all theatre, man. It's really all theatre. There's not going to be a war with North Korea. Nobody's even taking it seriously, the whole threat of war with North Korea. That's why they did that whole nuclear threat, the ballistic missile threat on Hawaii the other day. Oh, sorry, false alarm.
False alarm.
Just so people start taking the war a little bit more seriously, because they want people's attention on what's going on there. That's all going to be, you watch, China will step in and it'll totally quell that situation. And this will bring about the new Chinese One Belt, One Road economic system, and we'll all move over to digital currency within the next couple of years. You watch.
Do you think it's going to happen very soon, Max, in the next couple of years, huh?
I do. I think that the amount of money that's funneling out of fiat now into Bitcoin and into crypto is phenomenal. Yeah. Crypto's up at around $700 billion or something at the moment. all the money is funneling out of our normal economies into crypto, and it's probably they need digital. They need digital cash of some kind to bring the smart grid online. Doesn't matter what form it takes. Cryptocurrency will work fine with that. But they've got their own versions of it. Like they've got IOTA, which is Tangle technology. They've got their own versions of crypto. Israel's even announced it's going to start its own cryptocurrency. So, you know, it's digital currency. Once it becomes digital, I mean, the cryptos could be really good in the current fiat system, but once it all goes smart, it's not going to matter. And the bankers don't care. They don't need control of currency. What they need is control. And they'll get control by everything being digital, you know.
And you think, like, are we that far away, Max, from having our homes completely automated, so to speak? You know, like you were mentioning earlier on, that your washing machine is only going to work between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning. So, and there's nothing you can do. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Well, they can do that simply by putting in a smart meter on your house and putting a chip in your washing machine, a chip in your fridge. There was a guy who was arrested in Sydney because his fridge was listening to them over breakfast. He was having a conversation talking about illegal stuff, and the police came and arrested him. They had the conversation recorded. Smart fridge was listening to him. So, you know, once it's all smart, once all the devices are talking to each other, once everything is microchipped, you know, your milk carton's microchipped, and they're rolling this out now. That's what the whole IoT is about.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting all the sensors on all the roads now. They're putting all the towers everywhere. They're putting everything in. They're putting all the infrastructure in now.
The 5G system.
So all they have to do, like, they make everything with a you know, planned obsolescence. So you buy a new toaster, it only lasts a year. You've got to buy a new one. A new fridge, it only lasts a year. You've got to buy a new one. And when you buy your new one, it's got a microchip in it. There's nothing you can do about it. You buy an old one, it's not going to work. You've got to get your new one. You know, so this is how they do it. All they've got to do is put a chip in everything and have everything talking to each other, and the smart meter can tell your fridge not to work except for these certain hours, if they want to do that.
I was in our local supermarket yesterday. I'd done a bit of shopping, and I was standing at the checkout now, and I have to admit, Max, I did pay with my card, because I didn't have any cash on me, but I paid with the card. It was like 70 euros. That's all. Like, it wasn't that much. But I was standing there with all my stuff in the thing, and I actually said to myself, how much easier would it be, because the queue was bloody half a mile long, you know, so how much easier would it be if everything in that trolley had a little chip in it, and I was just able to walk through the checkout.
That's why they do it that way.
But I think that's coming down the line, because the checkouts are getting less and less. They're becoming more and more automated, and I think it's eventually going to be that you walk into a supermarket, fill your trolley up with what you want, and walk straight out the door, and it's all scanned and deducted from your account.
Exactly. That's why they want to do it, though. That's why they make it so the checkouts are so inconvenient now. That's why they make sure there's only, you know, never enough operators on there. You're always in a line. They make sure it's inconvenient, so you're going to want the convenience. They could make it far more convenient for you. It could be far easier to do things, but they make sure. And it's like when I flew into Houston, and there was five airlines arrived or something. It was like 1,000 people there waiting to get through customs. And there were two counters open. There were 16 counters there. Only two of them were open, stamping your passports. It took 2.5 hours to get through customs.
That's ridiculous. But that's the difference, isn't it?
But over next to them, they were building all the retinal scanners. They're over there, so you could see them all building them. This big line of like 12 or 15 retinal scanners, so everyone can just walk through there. So they make it inconvenient. So everyone's going to want the retinal scanners. They can get through lots. You know, they could have just had 16 people there stamping passports, and we would have got through in no time, you know.
But instead, they wanted all, as you said, Max, this is the control grid. Grid coming into being. Max, I have run out of time, unfortunately. The show's only an hour long, so, and I know you're probably used to doing 2-hour shows most of the time, Max, but I will hope to meet you for the first time, I suppose, at the conference. I will be down for the conference in March, and hopefully you'll be able to appear at the conference and give a wonderful speech, Max, to everyone present. So, Max, listen, thanks very much for coming on to The World You Don't Know. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, brother. Pleasure to come on any time. I look forward to seeing you at the conference. It's going to be a great event. I'm really looking forward
to it.
I
will buy you a nice pint of Guinness when we get down there. And trust me, Max, I've been in the hotel, and the Guinness down there is quite good.
I'm not much of a drinker, but we'll see how we go.
We'll get you a pint of Guinness, Max. You'll have to become an honorary Irishman, you know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. Anyway, Max, I should let you go. And listen, you take care and have a great day.
You too, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks very much, Max. Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was the wonderful Max Egan, all the way from Brisbane in Australia. It's, what day is it? It's tomorrow there for him. It's actually Tuesday over there, so, you know, I'm in the past talking into the future. Great, the wonders of Skype. Anyway, folks, this has been The World You Don't Know. And as I said earlier on at the top of the show, I'm going to be doing these interviews. Max has been the first. Max is going to be speaking at the Open Minds 2 conference in Dooley's Hotel in Waterford on the 2nd, 3rd and 4th, I think, of March. Tickets are available via Eventbrite. Just type OMIC2 in Eventbrite and you'll get tickets there. And as I said, if you want to turn up to Dooley's Hotel, or you can book a room in a local hotel somewhere down there, a bed and breakfast. If you just want to go in for the day to listen to a few speakers, go onto the website, check out who's talking. It's anyone who appears to you. Go on that day, go on all 3 days, go on 2 days. That's up to yourself. But it's a conference not to be missed. Trevor Evers and all the lads there, Awaken Aware in Southeast Ireland, have put this together. They did it last year. It was a huge success. And they're doing it again this year, and they have some fabulous speakers coming up. John Wilson, the Garda whistleblower, who I hope to have on the show. Nick Collistrom, a bit of an expert in the 7-7 attacks in London. He'll be going on to the show. Max Egan, who I've just been speaking to. And lots and lots of other speakers. I can't get any of the names that's locked in my head right now. Anyway, folks, I have come up to the end of the show. This has been The World You Don't Know. And I just want to, I'm going to actually play out with a song. I'm going to queue up a song now because, unfortunately, we had the sad news earlier that Dolores O'Riordan has passed away. So I'm going to finish up with a Dolores song. And let me see. It's my favourite song anyway from her, from the Cranberries. It's a song called Zombie, so that's what I'm going to end the show on. And remember, folks, the world is full of wonderful people, and if you can't find one, be one. Until next time, I'm going to leave you with the Cranberries. Talk to you all very soon.